Greetings, and welcome to Synaptic Jam. with your host James Keeling.
Ooh, spooky.
This is Synaptic Jam, James Keeling, with a special review of Percy Jackson and the Olympians. First, in the interest of full disclosure and background, I have four daughters. Yes, I know. Thank you for your condolences. But as I was saying, I have four daughters, and I try very hard to make it a point to read what they read, for obvious reasons. This is why I have actually already read all of the Percy Jackson and the Olympian novels that are out. So I'm well aware of the persons, places, and things contained in the novels, and approach the movie as someone who is already familiar and not uninitiated into the premise of all things Percy Jackson. Note, I will try to avoid spoilers at the beginning of this review. Spoilers will come later, and you will be forewarned. Well, as I mentioned in my last tidbit, what you walk away with from this movie is heavily dependent on what you walk in with. The best advice I have is to go into this film with an understanding and appreciation for who the characters are from the novels, their motivations, and their histories. Past that, let the movie tell you its own story, peopled with these imaginative characters. If you're an experienced Percy Jacksonophile, and you can still manage to do that, I think you'll be pleased. I know I was. It was a visually appealing movie. Was it Avatar with Greek flair? Well, not really. But the production values were good. It was pretty well done. Overall, the acting was good. No truly stellar performances, but I didn't feel slighted by any of the actors. None of the characters were cast poorly. I was pleasantly surprised at how well Pierce Brosnan did as Chiron, and Grover filled his role admirably as well. I'll take a quick moment here to address what is perhaps the most glaring of the differences between the movie and the novels. Age. For the movie, they aged the characters by a few years. Well, all the way up to 17, actually. I believe they did this primarily to avoid confusion and crossover or contention with another series of books that dealt with magic and teens growing through their formative years, a series which here will remain nameless, or that series which shall not be named. This also allowed them to move up the timetable on a few of the more mature themes, as in Annabeth and Percy and their budding potential romance. Don't get me wrong, it's not like it's a slobber fest between any of the characters. Although Grover does meet a few honeys during the course of the film. The change in age also allowed them to drive, legally, which helped with the cross-country scenes. It also helped them seem not quite so out of place in some of the other locations as well. Most of the other differences tend to lean into spoiler territory, so I'll quick jump into the future and see how far you'll have to fast forward to get past it all. Okay, please fast forward to 6 minutes even. That's 6:00. If you don't want to hear spoilers, stop now. Podcast continues in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and we are live. Okay, let me break it down for you. Overall, I really liked it. But there were some fairly glaring things missing that I could easily have let bother me, enough so as to reduce my actual enjoyment of the film. I'm going to start with Camp Half-Blood. Does it exist in the movie? Of course. Does it have the same basic mission, to train the heroes of tomorrow, and at the same time be a halfway house for demigods? Yes. Do they have the barracks all laid out in the ring with the empty buildings for Zeus, Poseidon, and Hera? No. Does Percy get his own place? Yes. Well, where it kind of fell apart for me, note, fell apart here means that they changed it so I really missed something. They didn't make a point of having different cabins for the children of different gods. This was a fairly major component of the novels, and lent heavily to the way that the camp was run. Honestly, I kind of missed the not knowing who his dad was thing and being lumped into another cabin. It really meant a lot. That was a fairly powerful factor from the books, as well as a vehicle for introducing other characters. I could go on about this scene and that scene, but, you know, that would be nitpicking, and that's not what I'm here for. I'm here to discuss some of the major story modifications and changes that they made. they did address the gods not talking with their kids. But in this case, it was just because Zeus passed a law that they couldn't, and not due to the fact that most of the gods just simply don't care. They didn't mention the law that the big three weren't supposed to have kids, or the prophecy. The oracle in the attic was skipped completely, as was the whole go-on-a-quest thing. I think the word quest was mentioned once, maybe twice, throughout the entire movie. As for the gods, they didn't really introduce Hera, Ares, or Aphrodite. The only gods that were really identified were the big three, Persephone, Athena, and in passing, Hermes. Well, that's enough spoilerific stuff. Time to bring everyone else back into the fold. Podcast resumes in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. For those of you who didn't want to hear any spoilers, we're back. Basically, for those who enjoy the novels, you can enjoy the movie as well. Don't expect the novel, but an adaptation adjusted and edited as is their want. I mean, honestly, did you really think it would be anything else but? I mean, name any movies that didn't do that, and maybe I'll give you a cookie. Don't agree with me? Fine, leave me a comment or shoot me an email. Am I glad they aged the characters? Probably. Not only did it make it less like the series which will not be named, catapulted the movie into appealing to the teen and older set. Maybe it won't ruin the lives of the actors like some who rise to prominence too early. But back to the movie. Let me go ahead and sum it all up. Did they remain true to the basic concepts of the novel as it relates to characterization? I believe so. Was it everything I could have ever wanted in a Percy Jackson the Olympians movie? Not really. But it was a fun movie and worth watching, even in the theaters. Agree? Disagree? Let me know. Comment on the blog or send me an email. You can comment on the blog at www.jameskeeling.com or email me at james@jameskeeling.com. Thanks for listening, and maybe I'll see you tomorrow.
You have been listening to Synaptic Jam with James Keeling. More information and more content can be found at jameskeeling.com. That's James Keeling, KEELING.com. Email may be directed to james@jameskeeling.com. Sounds utilized in this podcast, graciously provided by the Freesound Project, available online at www.freesound.org.